Coming up on today's show, we're going to quickly run through the news, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Disney's history. This is coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 442 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by Adam.
What's up, everybody?
And that's all I'm being joined by
today.
Is that we know of. Unless Jason pops in.
He might pop in.
Might pop in.
He was at a major sporting event today.
So why don't we just jump right into the news? Chip and Dale have a meet and greet that's going to return to Hollywood Studios after a seven-month pause. They're always fun, right?
Yeah. Actually, a lot of meet and greets are coming back again, too, right? Not just them, but...
Apparently, well, Daisy joins Donald.
I think Goofy and Max also
are
back.
Yeah.
Chip and Dale are always fun.
Right. Doug and Russell's Wilderness Explorers Clubhouse meet and greet opens for the first time since COVID.
Yeah.
Now, that place is just was just basically a place to, like, hang out in the shade. For the shaded right. area over at Animal Kingdom, like one of the few places.
Yeah, there was something else I was reading this week, too, about that was Animal Kingdom is the last park that still has some of the COVID stuff in terms of, like, the boats that just randomly go by with characters waving them. It's like, they still do that for some reason, even though most of the meet and greets are back.
You know? I know, I think they do that because it was something that people thought was kind of cool, truthfully.
Yeah. I mean, it is still kind of cool, but maybe it's just using all those waterways that they...
Yeah, so it doesn't get stagnant or something, maybe.
Getting a use of them, yeah.
It's not like they could, make use of it by taxiing people from one place to another. I mean, I'm just saying.
Bring back Radio River Cruise, or whatever it's called.
Right. Does Radio Disney even exist still? I don't know. It might. Mm.
Maybe it could be Satellite Radio Disney? I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't had to call in a while. They used to play Radio Disney whenever you would be waiting, you know.
Yeah.
You would hear whatever they were playing on Radio Disney. But I haven't had to call in a little while, so.
What about when we were driving down there, you'd always tune in, right, to it on the way?
Yeah, there was the actual station, but you could tune in, and there was the... That wasn't Radio Disney, though. That was their own, like... Can't explain it. It was like a special radio station for when you got close enough to Walt Disney World.
Wouldn't it just give you like information, like park hours and stuff like that?
No, it had some little entertaining things. They would talk about it. You know, they have somebody in one of those voices,
the promotional videos.
Yes, but similar to that
for radio.
And of course, that's where the infamous "I'm going to Disney World" that song came from,
which we recorded off the radio too. I remember that.
Well, what would you call it?
Or you just got it from the internet.
I have a source audio clip from it.
The voice you're now hearing is Richard Kiley.
Yes.
We spared no expense.
Once upon a time, I don't know if I still have it. It was actually, because I took the excerpt of the song.
Yeah.
And kept it separate, but it was like an entire program. I don't know what year it was they were talking about, but it was an entire program actually from because it did start repeating itself. I remember that after you listen for if you listen long enough, it was the same stuff, information over and over again, pretty much. I think it was only like at best an hour's worth of material before it started repeating itself. So
the voice you're now hearing is Jack Wagner.
Anyway, it was a guy that had one of those classic Disney voices. I remember that. I don't remember who it was, but
yeah.
I was going to say, the other thing is I remember it was a pretty funny part when it was like they had Donald saying something on there and he was like, what did he say?
Yes, I remember that. It was almost like Robert Goulet or something sounding.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I don't know if that was who it was. But
yeah.
What did he say? Yeah, I do remember that very vividly.
What did he say? It was just like he was saying it so pleasant, you know, it was like, what did he say? He couldn't help but smile every time he was talking.
Exactly, you know? Right. Random plug. There's a guy, Don Hewley, but he talks in that kind of Robert Goulet style of... And when I say that, I'm referring to like Will Ferrell impersonating Robert Goulet from Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
He always did it where he was sitting in a car singing songs, maybe. Like it was a promotional CD back in the day. Remember when they used to do CDs where it was like mix CD of like greatest hits or whatever, and they would, it was like a super long commercial of like
CDs.
Right. Compact discs. I mean, that's what we have to explain to our kids. And like, what?
What are those?
Yeah. What does that mean? Like, huh?
Yeah. You know, when you were saying that, it made me think about how the fact that Disney used to have those kiosks where you could put together a CD.
That was at Epcot, right?
Well, they had them at all the parks.
Did
somewhere.
They?
I made mine in Main Street at, over there where the... where was it?
That's right.
Something was kind of closed at that time, wasn't it? It's the same general area where you meet Mickey. They were renovating something, but they had the kiosks in that area.
Right, okay.
At the time.
Kind of where the hat shop is now?
But I think I also did one in Imagination at Epcot.
Right, okay. I seem to remember it at Epcot.
There. Yeah. I want to say every park had a kiosk, though.
Interesting.
Those two I remember, but I don't specifically remember the location of one of the ones at Studios, or I'll stop my head. But
this is really dating me as well. But do you remember when Pizza Hut did that, where you could pick songs?
Oh yeah, that was the
it
CD
was like
Now.
Five songs. Yes,
that was a company actually called CD Now, but you could get a free one with
Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Yes,
and you could pick five songs, and they would burn.
They actually created you a CD and mailed it to you. Yes.
I remember thinking that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Until I got my own CD burner.
Right.
And then it was like, in 30 minutes, I can burn any song I want onto a CD.
The very first one I had was pretty bad.
It was an external.
It took a while.
It was an external CD writer.
Yeah.
From like 1998 or something, nine, I don't know, maybe somewhere in there, late 90s probably.
Now, to start with, I think it was still a shorter amount of time than it took to download the song from Napster.
Right.
I think I had a 56K modem at the time, though.
Oh, yes. Yeah, 56K. But, right, yeah.
But when I switched to cable, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When that one worked. Yeah, we had issues, too, but
at least I never had
cable,
at least I never had a 14K.
But, right. And now I don't even think about it because, like, fiber is like, you don't even... Although there are some times where you have issues, but
you
today
remember,
it's like the kids don't even know the struggle of like having to dial.
Right.
dial to the air. And taking forever. And a page taking like, you know, 20 minutes
to
load.
Yeah, I remember the very first page like I went to, it took like all day to like download the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to download something that's like 10 megabytes and you just queue it up and it's
right.
Go to bed and wake up in the morning and you'd have like five songs and then three that failed or whatever,
that,
you know.
That first compact Presario that we had was a 2 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
2 gigabyte hard drive. Crazy how far we've come. Anyway, technology has gotten much better because Disney has announced
an
all-new Star Tours adventure in addition to the previously announced Ahsoka destination.
Right.
They're also going to include the Mandalorian.
Right. Andor too, right? Isn't Andor... I thought Andor was part of it.
They have transmissions from Cassian, but
there
not,
you go. Oh, that is cool.
It's not
going to
be
awesome.
About the... It's not going to be the...
like a destination from there.
So apparently urgent transmissions from Ahsoka, Ahsoka Tano, Cassian Andor, and Din Djarin, which...
Din and Grogu.
And Grogu, yeah, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Right.
Can't forget Grogu.
That's awesome.
He's going to be in there. So it's supposed to debut in not too much longer. It's going to be next month. So April the 5th, to be exact, is when it's expected to debut. So that should be kind of cool.
Just in time for spring break so that
you know,
people might actually get in line for Star Tours for a change.
There you go.
Let's see if it's Pedro Pascal's voice or not. I do want to know that.
We know about Adam and the voices.
Right. Because Ahsoka may or may not be Rosario Dawson. That'll be interesting as well. We got to see if it's her.
But who says we're going to go with the Rosario Dawson? Maybe they'll go with the original.
Right. They may do an animated version, you mean?
I don't know.
Or just hire an actor.
I'd probably go with Rosario Dawson.
I feel like they probably got her to do it while they were filming the series. And the guy who plays Cassian, the actor, I can't think of his name, but he probably did it too, right? They probably did that. But Pedro Pascal is like big star now, so I would be surprised if it's his voice. But if it is, that'd be awesome. But he's the one that, obviously, he's behind a mask. You don't have to show his face, so
right.
You don't necessarily need his voice either.
Right. They don't have to spend that money.
Right. Exactly. So we'll see if that happens. To. Although they may have had him record something during the last season.
I would
season
hope they would do it that way, you know.
Would have been cool. But anyway, I just thought I would. Since I'm the voice guy and I always complain about, I figured I'd have to
all
throw
these voices
that, in
that nobody notices except for you, you mean?
Well, it's some of them are very obvious and some of them are like, yeah, okay, that's pretty good. That's close.
Anyway. So according to an audition posting, they're looking to do a limited time Encanto themed show.
Yeah. It was 2021, by the way.
But see, I knew it. It was late though, right?
Yeah, it was like,
I think we saw it on like Christmas Day. On
yeah, I feel
Disney
like Plus. Right?
Plus, yeah. When we saw it, because we didn't watch it in theaters, of course. That's where it gained its traction was Disney Plus.
Right, because it was November. It says November 3rd, November 24th in the U.S. And it probably was it released Disney Plus like a month later because they were doing stuff like that during COVID. Because, by the way, this is another segue. Sorry about this. I saw Kung Fu Panda 4 today. I know it's not Disney, but
okay. Interesting.
But my local theater was packed today.
Really?
4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, which
really
it's a weekend, but I've never seen it that busy since COVID. So it's before COVID. So that's
spring break in some places, but not in Georgia though.
No, not here yet. A couple more weeks. Three more weeks.
I was gonna say it's not till the first week of April.
Right. So I was kind of surprised because we barely found a parking spot. That was how busy it was. So movies are back maybe. Even though this year's probably gonna be one of the worst because of the strike last year that we're not going to get nearly as much the next year or so. Probably is not going to be the best.
You know, funny you should mention that, though. We, this afternoon, you know, just to have something to do, basically, we drove up to Grey Wolf Lodge and just did, like, the gym mining, and they played in the arcade pretty much. Just spent a little time there. But
a little day trip.
Noticed that the parking lot was pretty much full, and when you went inside, it looked like there was a lot of people staying there from the looks of things. So,
yeah. It's a popular attraction.
It was kind of busy. They had some spring break stuff. Like they were advertising spring stuff there already. Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe other places their spring break has already started. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. I feel like this spring break is going to be really busy at Disney for sure.
Could be.
But post spring break, as we've talked about many times,
usually
is a really good time to go. Like late April, early May, all the way through summer really is not terrible.
I would be interested to see if maybe some of our regular, we'll say, challenge runners don't attempt to do a challenge now that park hopping is wide open after spring break.
Late April, for sure. Yeah. I guarantee you we'll see a lot once mid-April is over.
But now that it's pretty much back to normal park hopping wise, I feel like somebody could probably run it. So
totes. And isn't Easter this year in March, right? So
no. Well, yes, no? It's actually it's the day before.
The last,
yeah, it's the actually last, the day before the spring break starts. It's the 31st this year.
The last day. Yeah. So Easter is not. There's not like a later Easter this year. So there's no.
Easter is one of those, is how it's determined. I looked it up not too terribly long ago, and I forgot exactly, but it has something to do with the first full moon after the Passover, I believe it is.
Oh, so it is. Okay.
And so it that's why it changes. That's why it moves so much.
Right. It's more on the cycle. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense as to why.
Yeah. It's something like that.
Okay.
So that's why it constantly moves.
Yeah, right.
So
makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's always going to be on a Sunday, of course. But that makes
sense. Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, that explains why it's not constant, consistent. Right.
But it's not a later date this year. So,
no.
Like, for example, next year it's April 20th. So
right.
that could push the spring break crowds.
However, the spring break will. Yeah, but the spring break will probably be the same time it always is, the first week in April here.
Right, but in terms of, it might draw people past early April because of Easter.
Possibly. I
just
know that we debated a little bit about going during spring break, but I'm like, no, we don't want to go during spring break. Spring break.
The spring bake sale?
Right.
We also look at Disneyland, but it was very expensive just to get out there.
Oh, yeah.
Flights were like double what they were pre-pandemic.
Sure. You know? So what we're going to do spring break is we're actually only going to take like 3 nights of it, that latter part, and actually booked a Eden Condominiums in Orange Beach, so we're going to head that way. Even though that place might be still somewhat busy, it's not going to be as bad as Disney World.
No, and you can always find a spot on a beach somewhere.
And it's not Panama City. So there's always that.
Good point. The 30A.
That's, yeah.
Stretch of, ooh.
Yeah, that's, Orange Beach should be a little better.
Yeah. But from Destin to Panama City is like, yeah. Nuts.
The only concern I think would be finding, like if you want to eat somewhere, you might have to. Although some of the places there nowadays, they almost get into like almost a virtual queue for dinner, for getting a spot. I know Lulu's in that area does. You have a virtual queue you can get in.
Does it open up at 7 a.m. every day?
I don't know that.
I can do
basically
that.
What you do is you go to the site and you jump in line and they tell you when you're due pretty much.
I see.
You kind of estimate how long it takes you to get there, you know, and all that good stuff. So whenever you get in line, that's just when you're in line, basically. You know, a virtual queue is pretty much what it is.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay, what about this Encanto show?
Oh, I just said they were casting for it, but it's a limited time show coming. They were casting.
But did it say where?
And no, it's not specific at the moment because, like I said, there's just a casting call for it.
Would this be like an Animal Kingdom thing?
It could.
Or studios?
It could potentially be. I started to say you could possibly do it at Magic Kingdom temporarily, like it said, limited time.
Are they going to put this in Epcot somewhere? It doesn't make sense there either to me.
No, the closest thing is Mexico, and it's technically not accurate either.
No. Or would it be like the Castle stage show they're going to add Encanto to? But it's like, I don't know.
It could.
Or
I'm going to go with Animal Kingdom. At this point.
Yeah, I would.
Because I think they plan on bringing it there eventually. So maybe this is kind of whetting the appetite for that. I don't know.
Where would they put it? Right. That's a good point. Maybe they're testing out to see, like, the response. Maybe it's going to be in Dino Land. Where Primeval World was. They're just going to put a makeshift stage there or something.
Maybe.
Doubt it. That would be a weird place to put that currently, anyway.
Well, there's plenty of space there.
Yeah, it's like, where currently? Because there's no, like, South America area. It's all Asia, Africa, or Pandora.
Point.
So,
I don't know.
Where would you put it? Other than Magic Kingdom?
I would say Magic Kingdom, probably.
Where
was it there? Are they utilizing that area over there where you used to could meet Merida? Then they said they were changing something over there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a limited time show. I mean,
or if you're doing a show, though, it's a very small spot for
a
show.
Small spot. Yeah, that's true.
Where would you do a show?
Tomorrowland.
Yeah. The stage there, that stage.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, it looks so Colombian-like.
Right, it fits so well.
Yes.
They should retheme Tomorrowland to make it look like Colombia.
No, well.
There you go.
Anyway,
who knows where this is going. But yeah, maybe it's just going to be part of the castle stage show or something.
All right, so moving along, Bob Iger actually made the comment there was an Avatar-themed land coming to the Disneyland Resort, and then it seemingly was walked back just recently.
Oh, wow. Was it a slip of the tongue?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Remember that time he said, aren't we, like when he talked about renaming Hollywood Studios again? That was many years ago. Yeah. And he was like, we're doing that, right? And he said that at like D23 or something.
Yeah.
And everybody freaked out about it. That never happened.
So anyway. Apparently it was only a slight overstatement. They do plan on bringing something Avatar themed to Disneyland, yeah, but more going to be more an attraction.
Yeah, like
something not a small land.
Here's another thought.
Not full on Pandora.
Speaking of where things go, where would that go? DCA, most likely, right?
Yeah, I would guess. I mean, are they going to expand where? It? Are they going to expand somewhere out there?
Yeah.
I have a whole lot left to expand with, I don't think. But
right. Even if you did a mini land, unless this is going in this phase two project or whatever they call it, where they, you know, the hotel parking lot for Disneyland Hotel or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a good
Adventureland.
the closest thing themed, right?
You know? Right, but where, like, the tree houses, I don't know. Like, where do you find room to put something?
Exactly.
Galaxy's Edge, like, oh, it's another planet, right, technically? Floating spires.
Well, to the floating spires. No. See, this float. You're talking about the floating spires.
Yeah.
It's not going to be full on Pandora Land, right? Just an attraction. So you could.
So maybe it's like we captured this banshee from a faraway land called Pandora.
Okay.
The planet of.
It could fit in Adventureland, as far as that theme would fit best in Adventureland.
Yeah.
I don't know.
By the way, did you see this story about temporary construction walls around the Rocket Tower Plaza stage at Magic Kingdom? Maybe. We were just talking about we were just joking about it, but.
Just joking about it, but.
Maybe it's happening.
Well, alrighty then.
That's hilarious. I just happened to see that.
Well, it kind of fits with the not caring about how well things fit into a theme lately, so.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yeah, that would be like the biggest overstatement of that.
Yes.
Anyway. So this, I don't know how I feel about this. They've added Disney animated classics to Living with the Land. It's just, I don't know why.
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
More about this.
Well, apparently the first dome that you come into or whatever.
It's just small touches though, right?
Yes. Little Mermaid is in there. Okay, it's saying it sits by a large breadfruit tree, and it contains a candelabra full of utensils, a pipe, and a globe, and much more.
Yeah.
I don't understand the whole adding this to it.
You know what this reminds me of looking at these pictures is the storybook canal boats at Disneyland.
Yes. It's almost like combining the two things.
Right. It's like they have the little book here with little props that remind you, instead of miniatures, but there are props of it that remind you of. They should put the Jungle Book out there, though.
It's already taken. It's
on the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You can watch the Jungle Book.
They should be like, do you want to know some of my favorite plants? That one.
Yeah. Yes. So apparently there's also,
poo.
In that section there is, well, here's the thing, in that section there's like shark fins made out of stuff sitting out there, which is weird. Jellyfish. Yeah, hanging jellyfish. I just don't understand what the point was to do this, why they felt the need.
It's a cheap way to add something to the land, I guess. I don't know.
It's to give some like, oh, look at there. I recognize that. Oh, look at this. You know.
Isn't this going to tempt more people to jump out of the boat and grab a prop or something?
I really hope not. Now, the mini with the bow, that's always been there. Or it's been there for a while.
Right, yeah, that one is. The Alice in Wonderland one is kind of cool, though, because it's like the garden tea party set up. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't hate it. Oh, and painting the roses red thing. Oh, that's cute. Okay, it's not terrible. Maybe, is this just for Flower and Garden, I wonder, or are they just going to do it?
Maybe. I guess it depends on how well it's received, right?
Yeah, maybe this will be like a Flower and Garden overlay.
What's going to do? Does it have music involved? They're going to lose their head.
Yeah. Maybe they will. I don't know. I think this is kind of cute, actually, looking at it. But
the potted plant that looks like the Mad Hatter's hat.
Right.
Yeah.
The Winnie the Pooh thing is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, so it's kind of a neat little touch. Yeah. Okay. It's winning me over without having actually been on it a little bit. So
right. Yeah. I think it's cute. It's probably just for flower gardens. So
yeah,
that's something to give you a reason to do the land seasonally.
So we see the Polynesian Village DVC towers coming along. It's starting to look like it fits there a little better.
Yeah. I mean, it still looks like a slightly smaller Grandestino tower, which is like every hotel looks that way these days, but
yeah,
that's the thing. But
I mean, at least the coloring is starting to sort of blend in, right?
Yep.
We'll see how it is when it's all said and done.
So, sneak preview. It's not going to beat the Polynesian. I don't care what they put up. Oh, wait, this is the Polynesian.
Where Sorry. Have you heard that line before?
I don't know. I've heard it somewhere. It's popped into my head.
Look at that. Fine.
This is a sneak preview.
Right.
It's not going to be the regular Polynesian. I don't care what they put up. So.
Is the Polynesian your, without a doubt, favorite? See, you can't even say that now. You have to think.
No, but it definitely is the most nostalgic, for sure.
Right. Now, if I ask Mom, I know what the answer is going to be. But.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, if it wasn't $800 a night, it would be my favorite, sure.
Yeah. That's pretty rough.
And that's the thing is, you can still find rooms at Grand Floridian at decent like, again, nothing under 500 anymore, but around 500, which is cheaper than I can find in the Polynesian usually. Yeah. Contemporary or Grand Floridian, I can find in the 400 or 500, well, not 4 anymore, but 500 range, again,
right,
with a discount during, like, summer or something, or September, perhaps. But
perhaps.
Polynesian, nothing. Can't find it.
Yeah.
So
I think when I looked the most recent dates that I was looking at, I think they had the lowest was like $660 something a night.
Something like that. Yeah.
That was for a studio.
Right.
Oh.
And for contemporary, it's still garden wing. Is you can find it occasionally at a 400 something range or 500 something. But.
Well, it's a popular room, I'm sure, because people are trying to get deluxe for less.
Right.
Or monorail for less.
Yeah.
That's the kind of that. So, but if you want, if you want deluxe for less, you're never going to do anything better than a non Savannah View room at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure.
That is the best value as far as deluxe goes.
But if you want Magic Kingdom deluxe, Wilderness Lodge is probably the
right. If you want non-monorail.
Right. And of course, monorail contemporary garden view is going to be the cheapest of any of them. And in my experience, followed closely by Grand Floridian, an outer building.
I wonder why that would Polynesian. Be the flagship, or was the flagship.
Right? Yeah. Of course, the outer building Grand Floridian is slowly being taken over by DVC as well, so it's those are starting to be fewer and farther between, but
alrighty.
Anyway, back to that.
Anyway, we keep going off on
tangents, yeah.
One story leads to another story type deal.
Yes. Rabbit trails.
This is kind of a neat feature that's been added or is about to be added.
Yeah, soon to be.
Yeah, soon to be added, the dining reservations over multiple days.
Yeah.
Which I'm really kind of interested as to why it took this long for them to try and add this. I mean,
well, yeah, searching for multiple days. Because if you're going, you know, for a week long or 5 days or whatever, a long weekend even, you can search for the whole time you're going
to
be there,
but just for one day at a time,
right? Yes, right. Instead of doing, well, it's not there that day, let me check the next day or whatever. Yeah, it'll definitely make it a lot easier.
Yeah, so let's just say, if this is for example, for, you know, kind of break this down, simplify it for you, right?
Right, right.
Let's just say you're going for 5 nights, which is probably the average now. You have the opportunity of taking your first date that you're going to be there and your last date that you're going to be there and search for a particular restaurant or whatever the entire
length of stay.
Yeah, your entire length of stay. That way, if you're looking for a specific place, you see the times over the course of your entire stay, right?
Yeah.
Say you're looking specifically for Space 220. Let's just give an example of one that's hard to find.
Right.
You're going to look
Woody's
over.
Roundup or something,
You're going to look over the course of those 6 days, basically, because you're 5 nights, right? You can look over the course of those and pick a time if it's available.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this.
In theory, that would yield you more results, too, in theory.
Right. And the fact that if you're looking the day before, for example, your trip starts or something, or the closer you get to it, the more availability shows up. You know, you can search multiple days and see if it pops up for...
Right. And typically 1 to 2 days out, the reservations do change or become more available because people have dropped them for whatever reason.
Right. Yeah. Now, the only thing...
Cancellations.
...hasn't done yet is like an alert system to where you could put in a request for, hey, I want to, you know, Space 220 and... Send me an alert if it shows up. But
yeah, I think that would be difficult to do. I think the fact that we've already seen how the touring plans one works, right? The one that they have. I mean,
which
it's,
I believe doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, well, when it did, we'll say then. I think it was very difficult to do. I think it'll still be difficult for Disney to try to do, to notify someone. Because look how many people would want notifications. I think it's just too big of a...
It would only disappoint most people because one person would get it and 50 others or hundreds of others would not. So
they don't need
more reasons
more
for
disappointment.
Exactly. Yes. Good point.
And they already give with boarding groups and so on and
That's
so forth.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Good point.
Boarding groups have probably not been as bad as it was when it was very disappointing for a lot of people early on with Rise. But.
Right.
It's not been as big of a problem with the more recent attractions, but still, they still sell out. I mean, they still, you know, book out.
Yeah. So it says guests staying at a Disney resort can do this 60 days for their entire length of stay.
Right.
This gives you the advantage of 60 days out being able to do your whole trip.
Which I'm okay with that. It's a lot better than the 180 days they used to have you do it to start with.
But. Yeah. But, you know, the rest, if you're not staying in a Disney hotel, you wouldn't be able to look for past 60 days.
Right. So, yeah, right. So, if you're staying, in other words, the first day window, you'd actually be able to see the, let's just say you're doing a 6 day, you'd see this, the 5 days beyond that still, you'd be able to see that part.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works now, though. But you can still only do it 1 day at a time. Is the It works the same way. I remember, because I remember we had a stay, and as soon as the first day of my trip was in the window, right, you could see the the rest of the days that you were going to be there. So that would still work the same. The only difference is now you can search the range versus 1 day at a time. So
which is helpful, to be able to find.
So like say the 60-day window, let's just say the 60-day window was April the 1st. And then, but then, you know, if you weren't a resort guest or you didn't have a stay booked, you couldn't see the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, or whatever. But if you did have a stay booked during that time period, you could see those days.
Yeah. You could go out beyond that.
Right. You could technically go beyond the 60 days.
Yep.
Which
would be a big advantage.
Gives you an opportunity. I noticed that you see a lot more availability at that time period for the places like Cinderella's Royal Table and stuff like that.
Yeah, the really popular ones.
Yeah.
Especially getting a time you want, because a lot of times you have to concede like a 3 p.m. dinner if you really want something, you know.
Yeah, most of the places, though, that are hard to find, I don't even care, truthfully, most of the time.
I mean, for me, no restaurant is a make or break for my vacation at this point.
Correct.
But there's definitely ones that I would want to try if they're new or something. But
there is a ton. Their quick service has improved so much over the years that it's a good enough option most of the time.
Honestly,
especially with mobile order.
Yeah,
places like, indeed. You know, Satouli, for instance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dante, the new projection map Dante effect. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yes. So this is the first ever nighttime projected topiary, right?
Right, yes. And it looks pretty impressive from what I've seen.
Huh. It's pretty neat. Like,
cool. Yeah. I always thought it was.
It looks pretty cool during the day to me because it's very colorful.
Yeah, I was going to say, I always thought Dante was pretty cool looking at me from cool.
And I'm trying to see where the projection is coming from.
It's going to be hard to see from a photo.
Because it's over there by Mexico, obviously, and the, like, heading towards the Odyssey.
Right.
But I don't, you know, I was just trying to see, like, where's the, it's maybe over where the Mexico outdoor kitchen is, like, on top of the roof or something? I don't know.
Perhaps.
Oh, it's on the, across the walkway. Oh, I see it now. Okay.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so I think we've kind of covered most of the
newsworthy news.
Other than, I was just mentioning to you the other day about all the stuff we forgot to mention on the podcast, I think, about all the, basically, the freebies that have been.
They're starting to throw out at us for 2025.
Not just that. I mean, like, even right now, if you were going to book, say, a trip, if you weren't a pass holder, all the stuff that they're throwing at you to be included in the package, pretty much. But we know in 2025, what was it about the water park?
If you're staying at a Disney resort in 2025, you get a free water park day.
There you go.
Which is, you know, as we've started saying on the show that next year Disney's going to start throwing all kinds of stuff because Epic Universe is opening. So anything Disney can do to get you to stay there an extra day versus going to Universal for more days, they're going to try and throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the first, like, lob attempt to get people to try and commit to Disney next year. A little longer.
Yeah, so basically the way this works, a check-in date anywhere from January 1st all the way to the 31st. Benefit is only on the day of check-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can get either Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach, which this is kind of interesting. It says with a date of January the 1st through December 31st. Okay, there's time periods during the first part of it that we're just talking about in which one of these is going to be closed.
Yeah,
there's always one open, but there's always one under refurbishment during that. So you're really only going to have an option during some of that time of the year between whichever one is open.
Right. Yeah. Unless they plan on having them both open more often next year, more.
Yeah.
Just to compete more with Universal. That might be a part of their strategy.
Possibly. Supposedly.
Possibly.
We can move on to our... what should we say, side topic almost?
Yeah.
Talking about, one of the things that we started talking about a little bit before the show was how the studios, right, how it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And May of this year will be 35 years since the opening of the studios.
35.
Wow. Speaking of anniversaries, there was a video we were watching earlier. Guess which, this sounds kind of crazy, which Disneyland anniversary is coming up soon?
Oh, yeah. You mean next year?
The 70th.
Yeah.
70 years. Wow.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, 70. Wow.
There's people who were born the year Disneyland opened that are retired now.
Yeah.
I mean, or even not living in some cases, but, you know.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah. Hard to believe.
Yeah. Time flies.
Yeah.
But yeah, 70 years of Disneyland. That's crazy.
Yep. So, but Hollywood Studios, has there been
a park that has changed more?
Yes, since its opening in Florida, at least.
Right.
If you count Disneyland, I mean, it's changed a lot.
Yeah, Disneyland
over the course of the near 70 years.
Probably the one that could rival that, but yeah, certainly not a Disney World park.
Although in Disneyland, it still has its very first attraction, does it not? Or one of its earliest.
I mean, Peter Pan and Mr. Toad.
Mr. Toad, yeah. I was going to say all those were opening day, right?
And technically Autopia, right?
Yeah, even though some of them have gone undergone some changes. I don't think, has Toad Major. Really gone, undergone that many?
The Riverboat, the Mark Twain.
Yeah, but has Toad really undergone that many for Disney?
I don't think so, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's probably upgraded quite a bit.
Yeah.
I would hope.
But I'm just saying it's probably been touched the least out of all those, if I had to guess.
Maybe.
I don't know. Could be wrong. I don't know what the queue looked like back then. I find it hard to believe it was exactly like it is today, but...
Well, yeah, no, I'm sure it has changed.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I had to look back at the history of that one. Studio is what kind of came up. Our friends at Parkeology, they like to post a lot of things about Disney's history.
The old date.
And I've really been enjoying those tweets, or I guess you still call them tweets, since, I don't know.
And X's? Like, how was this? Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why you would call
what
it.
You call it?
Their posts on X.
Yeah, I guess so.
Usually have been all involving, things that have happened in the past or stuff that's not as noticeable, things like that. So,
yeah.
One they did recently, this is kind of off the Hollywood Studios thing that I didn't even realize, I guess, is the fake water at the top of the floating islands in the Avatar. Have you noticed that?
The fake water?
Yeah, because there's at the very tip top, they have an illusion that makes it look like there's actual waterfall. But it's not. I guess I just never really paid attention to that.
I remember them saying they did that, and I forgot what it actually is. But
they are simply rotating wheels with foamy water texture on them.
Oh, right. It just looks like water, yeah. That's true.
Yep. So it's forced perspective type deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always thought that was interesting. By the way, if you're a listener of this show and you don't follow Parkeology, you need to. You need to go follow them on X.
Yeah, right.
I almost said it.
Right, they post a lot.
If you want to get some interesting Disney history or, do the challenge, that you need to go look those guys up. And they've been on our show before as well, so.
Yeah.
We definitely have no problem plugging their stuff, plugging their materials, but.
Right.
Hollywood Studios. What got me on this is that's not too long ago they actually did a post that showed a short-lived part of even the early days of the MGM Studios, the backlot tour was when Herbie had a cameo, I guess you would say, on the backlot tour.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure how long he lasted there.
Didn't they say it was like a year or less? It was not long.
Yeah. We had the privilege of seeing it because we went there
the first
month of operation. It was within like the first couple of weeks of operation. But definitely within the first month.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to see Herbie there. I remember years after at the backlot tour, like that house was still there and you could see the grooves.
Yeah, the track, or whatever it was.
He would have been going back and forth on it and doing all his
little
stunts and stuff that they had him do. Yeah.
They were just covered that up.
I guess.
It was just always sitting there.
Yeah, you could always see the spot where he used to be for the longest time.
So or at least
those of us that knew it, what that was for.
Yeah. Was it like technical issues is why they removed it so quickly, or people just forgot who Herbie was?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a good question. I really don't know what the reason was.
Even with the new Herbie films, they could have, back in the early 2000s or whatever, but.
For whatever reason, when it comes to Disney attractions, there's quite frequently ones that they start with all these great effects and full, and then they over time fade away.
Or quickly they just had to scale it back and
it just doesn't work
right or whatever.
The Yeti worked for how long? I mean, it was a matter of months, I think.
Right.
The Yeti worked before they had to shut him down.
Right. On Everest, yeah.
Well, one that we've witnessed more recently, Rise of the Resistance, the guns.
The cannons.
Yeah, they haven't worked in I don't know how long.
Right, I think the first time I rode Rise, they were working, and then one of them stopped working very quickly, and now neither of them move, right?
Yeah. Now, of course, that's a little different than something like Dinosaur, who's just been neglected over the years. There's no telling what their effects are like whenever you... It's like a gamble. It's a crapshoot to know what's working.
That's what you're going to get.
Anytime you go on it right now. So that's a little different, but...
But even... in this video that you posted, it's on our YouTube channel as well.
Yes, that's what we're going to get to that. Go ahead.
Nice little plug. But I was going to say, Herbie wasn't, it wasn't the full effect either in that video, right? He was...
It depended on the moment when you passed Herbie as to what effect he was doing.
Oh, okay. So it's just luck of the draw as to when you saw what you saw.
Because the backlot tour lasted long enough as it was, so they couldn't really slow down, I guess. And
yeah, exactly. That's
hilarious. For effect. That video also gave a really good glimpse into what Hollywood Studios was back then, like the vehicles parked on the side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right, all that stuff. Actually having live entertainment, like the saxophone players that were playing.
Oh, you know, right.
Having them out. Indiana Jones wasn't quite open yet in that video either. So we got like a, took a video through like a hole in the fence. Yeah. It was pretty good. It was good enough that you could see what they were doing.
Yeah, they were doing the
rehearsals.
Cairo scene or whatever.
Yeah. At that point in time.
It's still a good show. Part of why I like the stunt show is the fact that it reminds me of, you know, that video or seeing it as a young kid. Like, and it's basically exactly the same show as it was 35 years ago.
It's like the only thing that's left that's full of original at this point.
Yeah, from the opening year, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of small things that are still left there, like the Roger Rabbit hole in the window, things like that.
On the
streets there.
Yeah. Hollywood Boulevard is virtually the same, even seeing the
vehicles.
Well,
minus the vehicles being on the street. They don't have those out there anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess they figured they needed that space for people to walk.
I guess.
I don't know. Of course, opening day then, there was a grand total. Now, they were kind of rushing, I think, to beat Universal, but
yeah,
that's just one man's opinion.
They were. Clearly.
Yeah, clearly. They opened it with four attractions.
Yeah, four attractions. Two rides.
Yes, only two of them were rides, and the one of them was only partially a ride, technically. So you had the main reason they built the park, the Great Movie Ride, and then you had the Backlot Tour, which had a vehicle, which was really two parts. It was a tram tour and a walking tour. It was divided up. I think in grand total, the thing was over like 2 hours total tour, something like that, the Backlot Tour was. It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty long. It was interesting, though. It was fun back then. I thought the tram section of the tour especially had a lot more stuff on it.
Yeah.
Back then, you rode through the New York streets, which is not even there anymore.
Right.
Before you could walk through them, you know, and were some things like Osborne.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So, and they used to actually do a few, movie scenes, TV shows, whatever on those. And they did it as a fully functioning studio, right?
Right.
On those back lots. And during those times, it was one thing that was, I hadn't watched our own video in a while before I posted it. I mean, I was, like I said, I was reminded of it from this Parkeology post.
Yeah.
But the section where you see that trolley car and you hear Roger Rabbit's voice, because, you know, Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit had only been out like a year at best at that point.
Right, yeah.
If that, it might have been coming up on a year. So they had a lot of Roger Rabbit references in the studios then.
Right.
It was neat seeing the Dipmobile out there and, you know, actually having some functionality to it, because later years it would still be there, but not, you know, you just saw it pretty much, or it ended up on the Boneyard section of the tour. One of the things that was really interesting to me about the Backlot Tour is how they, since it was still so early on in its operation, they kind of treated the Catastrophe Canyon as like a surprise thing. Yeah. Like they had people like, you know, they tried to make it like you were really going to be on they're doing some filming there, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Where you got stuck and you're like, oh shoot, I guess we got to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really neat the way they did that.
I saw a ton of water too that got dumped in there.
However many minutes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And
like
it was
2 minutes, I think. It was something ridiculous like that.
And then in the early 2000s, when the Lights, Motors, Action was there, you could look down at...
Late 2000s.
Well, mid... Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Mid-2000s, yeah.
Because they didn't put it in there until the... I was wondering what celebration they did when they changed the castle in 2005, because they did it for like all of them. But they took like a piece of all the different parks and put it there. And Lights, Motors, Action was the one they took from Paris at the time.
Right.
That's when they added it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But you could, in those grandstands, you could watch the Catastrophe Canyon reset every, you know, 5 minutes or however often it was.
Yeah, and hear that horn. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the truck horn. I was like, every song. Yeah. Yeah.
Craziness.
But it was kind of neat because we sat at the very top of Lights when I was actually always watching it. And that's where you could see Catastrophe Canyon so well. But it was interesting to me, the Boneyard, some of the stuff, how it changed over the years. But then it was still pretty early on. And you got to see stuff like, I think the prop that I remember seeing out there the longest was probably that the Flight of the Navigator ship. I know it was out there early on, but I think it stayed there for a while.
Yeah.
The keelboats, some of the keelboats were, or at least one of them.
There was a couple of vehicles from Last Crusade too, right? Or yeah, Return of the Jedi even.
Once
the
again.
Sail barge or something.
Yeah. Stuff like that was out something there. Like that. I think they moved stuff around over the years.
Right.
On it. But yeah, the car from Roger Rabbit too, the one that was totally destroyed that was out there. Then you would go and see stuff like the steamroller over there in that area where you were waiting to go to the walking tour, or you took the break in between before you went to the walking tour.
Yeah.
And of course, the walking tour started out with the scene with the boat, like it was the waves crashing into it and everything. I can't remember what they called it. They started out where you had a volunteer.
Right, where you
got inside the boat. But that was after they changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was after they changed it to the... I got to do that one time. That's after they changed it to the... what was it like the, you were down in the bottom of the ship or something like that. And like we took a hit from something.
Torpedo or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And then a bunch of water started coming in on top of me.
And then you got to the houses. There was one thing I saw recently, actually, when you think about it, was, you know, Herbie was there and then like Vern's house and the Golden Girls house.
Vern's house.
From Ernest Saves Christmas was on. Yeah. It was on that street.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
But the Golden Girls house, I think I saw this recently. Someone had posted that the location of it was basically where Ronto Roasters is now.
Oh, really? Like
Ronto Roasters / Docking Bay 7 area.
That's weird.
Like that outdoor seating of Docking Bay 7 maybe was like right where the Golden Girls house was. So
that's interesting.
You can pour a little out for the Golden Girls while you're eating a Ronto wrap or something.
I remember right next to that one, they had the house that had the Frisbee that stayed at a 45-degree angle or whatever on top of it. I don't think it was very specific to any TV show, though. The only one I remember being specific to a TV show was the Golden Girls. And then later on in the Backlot Tour, they actually had a George of the Jungle set back there, I think, whenever George of the Jungle, the live action was out.
Right.
Playing song, the version by the Presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah.
You're playing that out there.
Right.
So anyway, I bring that up just to kind of say that we put some of the early days of the Hollywood studios, like we had, there's some footage that I had. I kind of edited it to cut out some of the more personal aspects that we had videoed. The person videoing that video actually did a pretty good job, but does like to skip around.
I assume it was my dad, dude. Not the one.
But yeah, because that was the very first year there. But I have some other ones of Hollywood Studios after that that you can just kind of see the changes that it's overgone over the years. And now it's, you know, it's unrecognizable almost, with the exception of a couple of areas.
Yeah. Like Echo Lake hasn't changed a lot.
No.
That'd be
everything when you first walk in. But once you get past the
Chinese theater, or if you take left
or
right.
Yeah, even the Chinese theater technically has some changes, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go anywhere behind where the Chinese theater is supposed to be, it's like totally different.
Yeah.
So
I wonder who the last celebrity that did their handprints or whatever was.
You know, that was the other thing I noticed. You notice there wasn't as many out there at that point in time or whatever in the video. Did you watch it?
Like, there was not a lot of them were post, you know, opening.
Yeah. A lot of them were added as time went on.
Through the early 90s and maybe the mid-90s, but I don't think... I'd be shocked if there was anything post-90s.
Yeah. So just think about this. Think about this. We went to a studios that had no Star Tours, no Tower of Terror, no Rock and Roller Coaster, no Not even the stunt show, as we just mentioned. It had the great movie ride, which was the biggest draw. Yeah. It had the backlot tour. It had the magic of Disney animation.
Yeah.
I guess technically, was there five things open if you count that? 1, 2, 3. Because
I remember
Monster Sound Show, I know, was open. Maybe was Superstar Television not open yet? If it wasn't, it opened not long after. I know I said four things. Maybe it was five.
Yeah.
I could have swore Superstar Television was open. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just Movie Ride, Backlot, and Art of Magic of Disney Animation, and Monster Sound Show. Because I know Monster Sound Show was there, because I remember I thought that was funny to me at that point in time when we did it. So, yeah. Because, yeah, I know we spent the morning, the majority of that time, doing nothing but the Backlot tour, and then the magic of Disney Animation.
Right.
And then
that night we came back
and did Movie Ride and Monster Sound Show, I know, or at least my dad and I did. I don't remember that. We did Monster Sound Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun times.
Yeah. And now it's so totally different. But I feel, I was considering posting the video from there of the great movie ride, even though it's kind of short because it's not the full ride. It's kind of just clips from the ride.
I think that would be cool.
But the interesting thing about it is it is showing footage of a fully functioning Busby Berkeley scene.
Right, so, with the water
effect. With them actually spinning around and everything.
Yeah.
Which did not last very long either.
That's a good point. That was another thing that got cut.
It's one of those things that we were just talking about.
The Yeti.
Only worked for so long.
That's right. It was very short, too. It was a year or less.
Short-lived.
Yeah. That's right.
Something about it flooding the set or something over there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some issue. Just never quite worked like it was supposed to. Yeah. And they eventually made it like behind the screen with bubbles or whatever it was. So,
right.
At the opening. But right. When it first did it, it was fully like spinning and had
water and everything. Yeah.
Full effect. So I'll probably post that one next as well. So
Gene Kelly was singing in the flood.
Singing.
Sorry. Right after that.
So there you go. And also our very first time there, we didn't get the gangster scene. We got the Western scene, which is for the longest time, I thought all there was.
Right.
Till we finally got the gangster scene, they were like, what, did they change this? Like, oh, no, it was here all the how long. We just never got that scene.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. All right. So since we're going a little long, I'm going to wrap that up for now. But maybe the next time we can go dive a little deeper into some of this stuff that took place.
Yeah.
So.
That's good to think about.
Changes and stuff. To talk about the past sometimes.
We could talk through that whole video, actually. It'd be actually do like a commentary on it.
Yeah. Stuff we remember. Yeah.
Actually, we should do that.
We should do that probably with some other ones, too.
Yeah,
let's do
a companion. That would be really good, actually. Let's do a companion, like a watch party, and talk through it. Let's do that.
Okay. So look for that in a future episode. All right. So, you can find us, of course, on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have our Spreadshirt store, in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And, of course, we just mentioned the YouTube channel that you can go see the latest video that I posted in regards to Hollywood Studios. Where, Adam? Where can you get the link?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can also email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And we have a travel agent friend. You can book your next trip through that as well, all on our website.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.